Turn with me to Acts 13. Looking at the first words that Paul spoke after he was called Paul, and the whole emphasis that he says in this entire chapter sort of gets funneled down to this verse. It says in verse 43, "Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them," notice, the focus of the entire message, the focus of the entire Bible, the focus of Paul and every Christian should be what it says, "persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." You may be seated. Paul had been known as Saul, and all he knew was law. All he knew was the Ten Commandments and the requirements of the Old Testament. To be honest, that was right. But one thing that he missed, and many missed, was the fact that the law pointed to Christ. And as the Bible says, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We are living in the day of grace, thank the Lord. Grace is that God has done for us. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago about some things about the grace of God and how grace means that God does for us what we cannot do and do not deserve. Grace is that God does for the person who is needy and worthless and unworthy. A lot more to it than that, but to save time, I'll leave it there. And I mentioned first that grace interrupts the satisfied. Paul was satisfied in his religion, but grace came and interrupted him. Grace also insults the sinner. Paul didn't want to hear about the fact that he was a sinner, and to be honest, neither did I. But I'm glad that grace came and said to me, "You are wrong, buddy." But then also grace introduces the Savior. On the road to Damascus, grace brought Saul, who would be Paul, and introduced him to Jesus. And that happened to me 39 years ago now. But I want to go on in our thoughts in chapter 16, verse 7, if you'll turn with me. Still dealing with the first words recorded by the Apostle Paul in Scripture and how that his emphasis was the grace of God. And in chapter 16, verse 7, it says, after there, let's go and read. Go back in verse 5. "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden," hey listen, "were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they assuaged to go into Bethania, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, and saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after that he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia," listen, "assuredly gathering that the Lord had called for us to preach the gospel unto them." A lot involved with these verses, but it tells us a little bit more about grace. Paul is now operating in the grace of God. And one thing we'll notice in these verses is the fact that as he goes through the land, he is being led by the Holy Spirit. At times the Holy Spirit says, come here, Paul, let's go this way. But on two occasions in these verses where the Holy Spirit says, whoa, Paul, no, don't go that way. So could I say in our thoughts for this morning that grace involves the Spirit. Grace comes to us through the means of the Holy Spirit. Grace from heaven comes to the receiver through the means of the Holy Spirit. God uses the Spirit to accomplish His will. And I am very glad for that. I am thankful the Holy Spirit is our director. The Holy Spirit is our guide. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. The Holy Spirit is our means whereby we see ourselves. The Holy Spirit is the agent of God's grace. Through the Holy Spirit, we are saved as He spoke to us and convicted us and even converted us. Through the Holy Spirit, after we're converted, we're led by Him and directed by Him. But in my heart this morning is not just the fact of how the Holy Spirit leads, but it's on my heart to mention these two times where the Holy Spirit says, no, don't go that way. The same Holy Spirit who says, come, also on occasions will say, no. And it is for our good and for His glory when He does either. When He welcomes us and invites us to come to the good things of God, it is a wonderful experience. But when He says no, when He stops us, it is also a wonderful experience. It is for our good and for God's glory. Now, I'll be honest, I do not like the word no. Anybody here like it? I do not like hearing anybody say no, by the way, even God. But there are occasions when God says no. There are times when He says to us, don't. And His no's are as much a part of His grace as His yes's. And His refusal and the times He stops us is as much a part of His grace as the times He welcomes us and says yes. Well, the word no, by way of introduction, is a definite word. There leaves no place for discussion. When no is said, the decision has already been made. There's not a maybe. There's not a discussion. It has been settled. And when God says no, He means no. I think about the three Hebrew young men who said no to the king and said, we will not partake. We will not bow to the image. They had it settled. The Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, that would be wrong. The Holy Spirit said to them, before they ever said no to the king, the Holy Spirit said no to them. He said, don't you do that, boys. Don't you bow to that image. It is a definite word. It leads to no discussion. It's already settled. It gets us off the fence. It gets us to make a commitment. It's making a stand. Well, no is a definite word. Could I say, secondly, no is a difficult word. I've already said it. I do not like hearing someone tell me no. I do not like the Lord saying no to me. I'll go further. I don't like saying no to me, to refuse what I desire, to say no to what I want. Turning my back on my desire is not easy, but there's times we need to. The Holy Spirit says no to us many times. That is not easy. It's a difficult word. Hey, even the word, listen to this, no, makes it sound bad, doesn't it? Just a negative connotation to that word. It's a difficult word. Hey, try saying no to a child. See how easy that is. See how well that goes. No is a difficult word. We do not want to hear it. You know why? You want to know why no is so hard? It's simple. I want my way. I want things my way. When someone, even the Holy Spirit, even God says no, it's not what I want. But I promise you, when God says no, it's right. It's a difficult word. It isn't easy to say no. When the flesh stirs and it's something you want, it isn't easy to say no. When you have a desire, but the desire is wrong, it isn't easy to say no. When there's something stirred in your heart and you want to say something you shouldn't really say, it isn't easy to say no. When something happens that makes us upset, it isn't easy to say no. I will not take revenge. I will not try to get even. No is a difficult word. No isn't easy to handle. It's not only a definite word and a difficult word, it's a dangerous word. Hey, sometimes when I say no, I'm treading in dangerous ground. And it doesn't really fit her message, but it fits the truth. Hey, to the lost person, when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and tells you you need to be saved, when the Holy Spirit draws you to salvation, when you say no, you're treading on dangerous ground, because you're saying no to your only hope. You're saying a no to the only way to heaven. You're saying no to the only way to have forgiveness. When a saved person, when the Holy Spirit comes and God speaks to our heart and He says, I want you closer. I want you to give up some things. I want you to know me better. And we say no, we're treading on dangerous ground. No is a dangerous word. It's a definite word. It's a difficult word. It's a dangerous word. Can I say this? It's a delightful word. It's not just negative. It's good. The Holy Spirit did not say no to those fellas because He wanted to hurt them, but He wanted them to experience God's best. And the place they were going, the way they were going, wasn't the right way. And the Holy Spirit said no. But He didn't just say no to hurt them. He didn't say no just to make them miserable. But He knew the way that the Lord really wanted them to go, the right way, was the best way. And I want to tell you something. No is a delightful word. It sets us free to experience God's best. Oh, my goodness. No is a delivering word. I talked to you just a second about those men, those three, we call them Hebrew children. They were young men who said no to the king. We will not bow to the image. Do you remember what happened to them? The king threw them into the fiery furnace, but the Lord delivered them. They experienced something from God they could have never experienced had they not said no. I want to tell you, God's not trying to bind us by saying no to us. He's trying to set us free. He's trying to show us just what good things he can do through us and with us and in us. Noah's a delivering word. It's a delightful word. It's a wonderful word. And I'll get to my message finally, but I'll say this. Noah's a desired word. Sometimes it's what God wants. Come on. Receive. Enjoy. Take part. I like it when the good things come, but sometimes God's best comes by him saying no. There are times when God desires us to say no to ourselves. Why would the Holy Spirit say no? I'm talking about grace. Grace is where we receive from God. Grace is where we benefit from God. Grace is where we hold our arms open and he fills them up. And yet now I'm speaking about grace and saying the Holy Spirit says no. Oh, yes, I am. God's no is as much a part of his grace as his yeses. The Holy Spirit will say no because we need to resist our flesh. Here's these fellas. They're on a missionary journey. They are submitted to the Holy Spirit, yielded to his grace, being led by God. They try to go one direction, and the Holy Spirit says, whoa, stop, no. They are sensitive enough to know when God says no. And they turn and they start another direction. They're doing it for the Lord. They're doing it for God's cause and for the name of Christ. They're not playing in sin. The Lord's not saying no because they're thinking about getting drunk. The Lord's not stopping them because they're thinking about going down to the red light district of the next town. He's stopping them, and they're trying to do the best they can. But here's my point. They're doing what they want to do. And even with right intentions, if it's not God's will, it's wrong. It's wrong. And the good grace of God at times will say no. We need to hear the Holy Spirit say no when we're trying to do things on our own. When we're doing things the way we want to. The Holy Spirit will say no because we need to resist our flesh. You see, our flesh is strong. And our old man's still very much alive, even though we're supposed to mortify it. And our old flesh will always lead us wrong. And if you know the Lord, one step towards something God's not pleased with, if you'll listen, Holy Spirit say no. No. One look, something we're not supposed to look at, we're listening. Holy Spirit say no. The Holy Spirit will speak and say no to us when we need to resist our flesh. When we start to do something that'll grieve the Spirit. When we start to do something that's wrong, we'll listen. Holy Spirit say stop. No, don't do that. And that's just as much a part of God's grace as anything else. When he stops us from doing wrong, when he stops us from doing it the way we want to. Titus 2:12 says, teaching us, the Holy Spirit does, teaching us denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. He said one of the things the Holy Spirit will do by grace is teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, inner desires that we all have, to say no to them, to resist the flesh, to say no to me and what I want. The Holy Spirit will say no to us when we're trying to do something we want to do. And that's God's grace coming from heaven. When He says no to us because our flesh will always get us in trouble. Flesh wants what flesh wants. And flesh will never lead us to good. If you're missing it, here it is. Flesh is what you want. Flesh is what I desire. And flesh will always lead us wrong. And the sweet Holy Spirit, by grace, will say, no, don't take that step. Don't say that. You see something. And the flesh goes, whoop. And the Holy Spirit said, no, don't look. Don't look. You'll start to go somewhere. And the Holy Spirit say, no, no, don't go there. Don't go there. That'll grieve God. That'll grieve the Lord. He says, no, He'll stop. You'll start to type out the text. And the Holy Spirit say, you know that's wrong. You'll start to post the fault. And the Holy Spirit say, no, no. That's wrong. You'll start to say what you really would like to say, and the Holy Spirit will say, no, no, no. The sweet Holy Spirit tries to stop us from doing something that's wrong, something that'll disgrace us and disgrace our Lord. Our flesh wants it. Our flesh craves it. Our flesh desires it. But the Holy Spirit says, no, no. That's harmful. That's wrong. That'll hurt you. That'll cause the cause of Christ. The cause of Christ will do harm. Be harmed if you do that. The Holy Spirit, the work of grace, is Him saying no when we need to resist our flesh. We ought to learn how to talk to the devil and just say, devil, no. By God's grace, I'm not going to. Like the three young men who had the choice of defying the king and facing the furnace. But they said, we trust God. He said, no, and we're not going to. May God give us some people this morning, including the preacher, who will say, by God's grace, I am saying no to some things. When the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart, it's no, and He means it. And it's God's goodness that He's speaking to me like that. It's God's grace that He says that to me. He's not trying to harm me. He's not trying to hurt me. He's not trying to keep me from having fun. He's trying to help me and protect me and use me. When He says no, we better listen. When the Spirit says no, we need to listen. The Holy Spirit said to those men, no, boys. And they walked a while in another direction. He said, no, boys. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit when He says no. When the Spirit says no, we need to listen because He's trying to help us resist our flesh. Look in verse 8. And they, passing by Masia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Those fellows didn't know which way to go. And that was why they were trying to listen to the Spirit. And when the Spirit said no, that's why they went another way. When the Spirit said no, that's why they went another way. And Paul, in the middle of the night, had a vision of a man in Macedonia saying, come and help us. And by the Spirit of God, it was confirmed in Paul's heart, this is God's way. This is the way the Holy Spirit would have us go. So could I say it like this? The Spirit will say no because we need to resist our flesh. But the Spirit will say no because we need to remember our future. I'll explain that. They didn't know what was ahead, but they knew this. Get this. What I do right here will affect my future. And the decision I make now will affect my tomorrow. And that's why when the Spirit said no, they stopped. And that's why when the Spirit said no again, they stopped. And that's when the Spirit said yes, and they went. When our flesh tells us to do something we shouldn't do, we need to remember what I do at this point will affect my future. And if I give in to flesh today, I will pay for it tomorrow. When the Holy Spirit says no, He's not trying to harm us. He's not trying to hurt us, but He knows the future. And He's trying to get us to do now what we'll be glad we did tomorrow. The wonderful thing about it is God opened up a wonderful door in Macedonia. Could I say real quickly, that's how we in this part of the world got the gospel. I'm sort of glad they heard the no's and heard the yes and obeyed. Hey, there's times when the Holy Spirit will tell you no because He knows the path you're going down. Going to lead you to heartache. I want to tell you something. When we ignore the no of the Holy Spirit here, it will cost us in the future. And sometimes it'll cost something you can never fix right for the rest of your life. We'll have to live with the consequences forever in this world. And I want to tell you something. Sometimes the cost is way too high. That's why it says of Moses that he refused to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter, rejecting the pleasure of sin for a season. I wonder what would have happened had Paul and the men with him just kept on going, pushed past the no, didn't listen to the Spirit. Wonder what would have happened. I have no idea. But I know this, when the Holy Spirit tells us no, He's trying to help us. Because He doesn't want us to hurt ourselves and the cause of Christ by doing something dumb right here. The Holy Spirit will say no when we need to remember our future. Many problems have arisen because somebody didn't hear the Holy Spirit when He says no. Many problems have gotten worse because somebody didn't listen to the Holy Spirit when He said no. Paul himself, one of his best friends was Demas, and Demas forsook him. And Paul explained it very simply. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He didn't say no to the world, and he forsook the Apostle Paul and the cause of Christ. And I want to tell you something, when we don't hear Him say no, we'll pay the cost. We'll pay the price. He will see to it. No one has yet escaped, and you and I will not be the first. When He says no, we need to listen. When He says stop, we need to listen. When He says don't, we need to listen. Look in verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately, he didn't wait, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. He said, we went as the Spirit directed, but we went for one reason, and that's because God said go. And we knew what He wanted was more important than what we wanted. When the Holy Spirit says no, He does it for a reason. The Holy Spirit will say no when we need to resist our flesh. The Holy Spirit will say no when we need to remember our future. The Holy Spirit will say no when we need to respect our Father. It was not their decision. It was not that they analyzed the situation and chose the easiest path. It was not even their contemplating and thinking and advising and talking to each other and trying to determine which is the best way. No, they went the way they went because God said, that's the way I want you to go. And the bottom line to this little experience that I'm calling grace this morning is, what does He want? Not what do I want. Respect your Father's desires. Respect your Father's wishes. Respect your Father's direction, because what He wants should be more important than what I want. Flesh wants what flesh wants. But the Holy Spirit, if we'll listen, will say, no, no, no. This past week, has your life been lived in with the thought of doing your Father's will? Or have, for the most part, we just done what we wanted to do? What are your plans about this evening? What do you plan to do? When you make your plans this afternoon, if you need to, I kind of have mine already set, to be honest. It's not because I work here either. I'd do it, preacher, pastor, or not. But I'll give a good, simple example of doing my will or the Lord's will. Respecting what I want or respecting what the Father wants. I promise you this, if you will ask the Lord about it, and you tell Him, I believe I'll just stay home, assuming you're physically able to come back, and the Lord knows if you are, by the way. If you think this afternoon, what do I want to do, and I think I'll just take the evening off, go to the families, relax at home. I believe this. If you'll listen, you'll hear a no. Your will doesn't matter that much. What should matter is His will. Now, I want to ask you a question. Why do we preachers always beat the drum of being faithful to church? Why did I just use that as an example of my point? Here's the answer. If we don't do God's will as far as church attendance, I promise you we ain't going to do God's will out there. Because church attendance is the icing on the cake. And I promise you, if you don't like the icing, you ain't going to like the rest of it. Being faithful to church is a good indicator of where you're at with the Lord, and if you're able to be here. Some of you just cannot. Some of you cannot, and the Lord knows if you can. I'm still talking about grace, because the Lord wants the best for us. And being in the place where I can experience His best at times means He's going to say no. No, you don't get to do your will. No, your way doesn't matter. No, don't do that. No, don't say that. No, don't go there. No, don't associate with them. No, don't. Sometimes grace comes in the form of a good old-fashioned no from the Holy Spirit. So what do I do? What's the conclusion? Quickly, get self off the throne. The God who created this universe deserves being on the throne of my life. And I have no right to tell Him what I'm going to do or not do. Get self off the throne. Jesus said you can't serve two masters, and He knew what He was talking about. Paul wrote in Galatians, and he says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections and the lusts thereof. Crucify that old man. Put it to death. What I want doesn't matter anymore. What does he want? And he says, no. It's good enough for me. Get self off the throne. Secondly, walk in the Spirit. The only way those men knew God's direction and God's will, the only way they went the right direction, because as they were walking, they listened to the Spirit. When he said no, they stopped. When he said no again, they stopped. When he gave them direction, they went the way he said. Walk in the Spirit every day, all day, several times a day. Lord, I'm flesh. Lord, I want my will. And most of the time, my will is wrong. Oh, Holy Spirit, flesh will control me if I let it. Flesh will get the best of me if I let it. Oh, Holy Spirit, I give myself to you. Take over. I crucify this old man, this old flesh. It's dead already, but I accept it. I just receive it. And the Holy Spirit, take over. Take control. All day, every day, walk in the Spirit. You know what the Bible says? When we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Get self off the throne. Walk in the Spirit. Can I give you some good advice? At the very least, did you hear that? At the very least, end every day of your life with prayer. Sincere, heart open to God prayer. And I tell you something, when you make it in your mind, I will end this day in prayer, it won't be quite as easy to give into the flesh during the day. Because you know at the end of the day, you got to face God with what you did. And if you failed the Lord at the end of the day, tell him. Ask him to help you do better the next day. But walk in the Spirit. That's one reason why they had hours of prayer in the New Testament system especially. Because they knew how we were. They'd get so busy, like us, living life. They'd forget God, like us. They had designated hours of prayer where they had to go and pray because that broke the routine of living life, thinking about self, doing what I need, my business, my desire, my family, my will. They broke that and went to the Lord, and that helped them get in touch with Him, get their focus back on Him again. Boy, we need to do that. We need to walk in the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit says no, how in the world are we going to make sure we listen? Get yourself off the throne. Walk in the Spirit. Hear me. Say no immediately. When the Holy Spirit says no, listen. Don't take one more step. I'm promising you, we're heading for trouble when we do. We'll hear the no and keep on going. We'll hear the no and keep on going. When you hear no from heaven, stop immediately. And I want to tell you something. I'll give you an example. Let's say I'm an alcoholic. I'm a drunk. And that's a bottle of beer. And I'm walking down the street. There's a bar. And I'm walking down the street and the Holy Spirit says no. Because he knows the temptation. I want to ask you a question. Which will be easier? Me saying no now or keeping on walking? And sitting at the bar and now me saying no. You get my point? Say, when he says no, stop immediately. Don't take another step. Don't let flesh take over. If you fail, confess immediately. Get forgiveness and say, God, help me. I'll be honest. I did not have this message at all. Until about 4 hours ago, 3 hours ago. But the Lord placed this in my heart because we need it. I promise you something. There's some folks in this church who need it desperately right now. Because you're heading down a path. You're going to hurt more than you ever dreamed of possible. You're going to pay more than you ever thought would be possible this side of earth. But I want to tell you something. There's some. The Lord's got so much. The Lord has so many good things. And just a simple little hang up, a simple little problem, a simple little handicap, a simple little habit is keeping you from experiencing God's best. And He says no, because He wants to help you. Who's on the throne this morning? Who's on the throne this afternoon? Who's on the throne tomorrow? God's grace gives us many things. Sometimes God says no, and it's by His grace. Let's stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed.